beginning of the service, I asked the question, what is the oldest Bible verse ever found? It's Numbers 6, verses 22 through 26. We're going to add verse 27. Usually Jacob's able to find it. You can see it up there from the TLV. Beginning in verse 22, again, Adonai spoke to Moses, saying, 23, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, thus you are to bless Bnei Israel by saying to them, verse 24, Yah Adonai Elohim bless you and keep you. Yah Adonai Elohim make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Yah Adonai Elohim turn his face towards you or lift up his countenance and grant you shalom. Last verse, the conclusion on Numbers chapter 6. In this way, they, meaning the Kohanim, Aaron and his children, are to place my name over, the King James says, put my name upon, Bnei Israel, and so I will bless them. The oldest complete fragment of Torah, and it is dated greater than 400 years before the Dead Sea Scrolls. Actually, it's 500. Greater than 400 is almost 500. It's the Aaronic Benediction. How did that happen? In 1979, the oldest copy of this verse was found accidentally at a dig site in Israel. The late Gabriel Barkay was one of the most well-known archaeologists in Israel, famous for foundational role in the Temple Mount sifting project. However, when he was a doctorate student, he was doing his PhD work in Jerusalem, he was conducting an excavation at a necropolis outside the old city of Jerusalem. The site was in the Valley of Hinnom, Ketef Hinnom. It's a famous place, right? Hinnom. Hinnom is a very, very famous place. It's right close to a place called St. Andrew's Church. At first, Barkay's crew found British Mandate period guns and Ottoman period coins. Well, that's about 1,000 years, less than 1,000 years from current. They found the threshold of an intact church from 500 CE, 500 years after Messiah. And then they came upon a crematorium for the Roman army. So that's actually before 500 years. Eventually, they reached the layer of the first temple period tombs. According to Barkay, he hosted a youth archaeology club at that site in 1979. A 12-year-old boy named Nathan was given an unimportant task so that he could stay busy, keep the 12-year-old busy. He wanted the boy to clean out a cave and prepare it for a photographer. Instead, Nathan found a hammer and decided to hammer on the floor like a 12-year-old would. At least they thought it was flooring, but it turned out to be a ceiling, the ceiling of a concealed chamber underneath. The chamber dated back to the 6th century BCE. Okay? 6th century means from 500 to 599 BCE. At the time of the children of Israel's being taken to Babylon and returning from Babylon. They were in Babylon 70 years. This contained intact pottery, jewelry, and precious stones. But they also found two silver amulets, two small silver amulets. These were like charms worn on a necklace. Inside the amulets were miniature silver scrolls. The antiquities authorities spent 3 years to clean those silver scrolls from all this stuff and turn it back to silver, which is malleable, real silver, okay, and thin, especially thin, is malleable, meaning it can bend without breaking, which is what they were after. And when they were able to do that, they were sure that they wouldn't break it. 3 years later, they opened them up. On the little scrolls, they found a tiny ancient Hebrew script. It was the Aaronic blessing. They found Yevarechecha Adonai veYishmerecha Ya'er Adonai panaveilecha vichunecha Yisa Adonai panaveilecha ve'asem lecha shalom. This turns out to be the earliest occurrence of a biblical text in an extra-biblical document. Okay? They predate the Dead Sea Scrolls by 500 years. The discovery challenged the biblical critics who argued for a late authorship of the Torah, saying the Torah was not written until they were returning back from Babylon, blah, blah, etc. Yes, some books were written then of the Tanakh. The Torah was written back when Abraham, okay, 1,500 years earlier. This find showed that the chronicling of biblical texts happened long before the exile to Babylon. What does that mean? That means that they had organized them, and they had the Torah organized in the five books and the Nevi'im organized in the number of books that it is, etc. The later books are what happens from this point forward, but prior to, the Torah and the Nevi'im were all written, just about, except for two latter books, maybe three. But Daniel is included by himself, so though he was a prophet. This find showed that the chronicling that happened long before the exile to Babylon, and indeed this amulet contained the oldest biblical text, which also includes the name of Adonai, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. So here's the finding. How important is that? I, as a Bible teacher and a person that studies the Bible, it's good for me to know that the rocks can't keep from crying out, you know. Even the stuff that's underneath the ground cries out. And what's underneath the ground, even right next to a cemetery, okay, it's got for you and I some important things that are forever, such as the word. Any text comes from the mouth of God is good bread, any of it. But challah is the Aaronic benediction. Because challah is associated, when I say challah, it's not associated with any other people except the children of Israel. Okay? And the Aaronic benediction is associated with the children of Israel because it was given to them, as we read. And I want you to buckle up your seat for a minute while I elucidate on some things here. It turns out that I've known this for a long time, but I want to say it again, that the Hebrew text, the meaning of the Hebrew text, the meaning of the Hebrew words is way more than what English renders it, because a lot is lost in translation and there are no equivalent words. So for example, if I tell you in Spanish the word chiripa, first of all, go look it up and you go like, I don't know what it means. It's not in the dictionary. Okay, so then some dictionaries now include it, chiripa, C-H-I-R-I-P-A. And it means the little extra on top, right? When the rice and beans are done, the bottom of the rice pan and the bottom of the bean pan, when you scrape it out, that's chiripa. The extra, they say in the United States. So it's impossible to convey the same meaning with just identical words, because they're not identical words in the language, in any language, including Hebrew. Praying anything in Hebrew, and especially the Aaronic benediction, is going to make an affirmation. I want you to put this in your spirit. When you pray in Hebrew, you affirming that you are in the Father's hands. When you pray in Hebrew, you're affirming that you're in the Almighty's, the Father's hands. And because you're in the Father's hands, healing, sleep, insomnia can't stay. Because you're in the Father's hand, provision comes. And all I could write here is et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, agreeing with Yul Brynner in The King and I, right? Now here's some keys that I want you to, before I get into the actual text, we're going to go through the text word by word. Three things that I want you to pay attention, four things. Three, one more. First key. I said it earlier, this is the only prayer the Father wrote. The author of this prayer is not people. The author of this prayer is not even Yeshua. You could say, well, he was present and all that. But it's attributed directly to Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. The Father with the Son, if you like. No, I don't have a problem with that. But the authorship comes from him. It's his prayer. It's the only one he wrote. How can he write a prayer? He did. Wouldn't that be the most perfect prayer there is? Yeah. And you add to it the one the Son wrote, which we call the Lord's Prayer. Because there's no doubt who wrote that. It wasn't Billy Graham. Certainly wasn't me. No rabbi wrote that. It's written directly by him. That's the first thing to hang on to. We can actually pray what's in the Father's heart. Key number two. The Hebrew language has far deeper meaning than the English translations is able to capture. When I say it this way, when you pray a prayer such as this one in Hebrew, you release power, the power of the Almighty, but you also release impartation. It's a big, nice word. This, praying this prayer, results in you receiving impartation, which is associated with the Holy Spirit of God. Key number three. Only a Jewish Kohen Gadol could pray that prayer. In Jewish tradition, only a Jewish Kohen Gadol can pray the prayer. Do we have such a place, such a person? According to the book of Hebrews, Yeshua is our Kohen Gadol. He's our high priest that's on duty 24/7, making intercessions for you and I on a continual basis. So when I recite the prayer, I've said it many times, I'm just standing in for him. I'm loaning him my perfect body and my perfect mouth and my perfect voice and my perfect everything. It doesn't look too perfect to me. And you're right, it doesn't. But when I give it to him and he uses it, it's awesome. Huh? When you give yourself to be the body of Messiah, what does that mean? That means that you loan him your arms, you loan him your feet, you loan him your voice. You say, come Yeshua and utilize me. Holy Spirit, speak through me words that come from straight from the throne of heaven. And when we anoint people, we're not the anointers. We're the vessel, okay? We're the instrument. The instrument itself is nothing. It's an instrument. It's the one doing the thing that matters. And we are careful in this congregation for you to always know that we're just vessels. We dedicated vessels. We dedicated ourselves and took a bath and everything. We're clean. We try to be clean on the outside and on the inside. There's been a rule in my house for Shabbat. We cannot come if there's anything happening among us. You listen to what I'm saying. That means that no matter what happened prior to Shabbat and coming to the congregation, we have not failed to do this, Marilyn, have we? If there was anything that happened between myself and the children, or myself and Marilyn, we had to settle the matter before getting in the car and coming here. I'm not trying to say we're anything special. I'm just trying to tell you, if you adopted that for your family, if you adopted that thing, you wouldn't come in without forgiveness being extended. And you, husbands and wives, you would be in the best place you are. And you, children, you would be in the best place you are. That you could possibly be, and you parents would be in the best place you could possibly be. That sounds like some pretty valuable advice. Want to keep an awesome marriage? Once a week, if not more often. I recommend multiple times a day. But if you don't, the Holy Spirit would remind us, you can't go in the car. Okay, so sometimes we'd be late. Not because Marilyn made me late, or the kids made me late, or the dog made me late, or the cat made me late, but because the Holy Spirit would say, And no matter what the intensity inside of, I was wrong. Will you forgive me? I
was wrong. Children, would you forgive me? And it was not, it was expected that they would say yes, but it wasn't assumed if they didn't. Meaning, what's a three-year-old goal like, you know? I said, Daddy wants to know if you will forgive Daddy. Yeah, Daddy, I forgive you. Awesome. So when we walked here into Kol Simcha the last 34 years, we have never walked here without anything like that happening. You might actually learn something from the Puerto Rican. Key number four. The prayer is always chanted in Hebrew. Yes, there are times for, you know, like on the audio and video that we play to start, where someone is actually, you know, saying it. In the Road to Jerusalem, it was Marcelino who recorded that, and he recorded the prayer. But in the Hebrew world, this prayer is always chanted. So it's chanted by Cohen. If there's no Cohen, then it's not said, at least in the Hebrew world. So therefore, I need to unpack this for you. The first word is Yevarechecha. Yevarechecha, Yehovah. Yudhei Vavhe, Ya'adonai Elohim. Yevarechecha. It's translated, the Lord bless you. Here's what it's, I want to write. May Yudhei Vavhe, your heavenly Father, may you have the one who exists, right? The one who is, the one who was, and the one who is to come. That one. The Almighty God. May your heavenly Father, the Almighty God, Barech, Yevarech Hecha. What does Barech mean? It means to kneel before you. You realize what I just said? May your heavenly Father, Yevarechecha, who's the Yevarechecha? You? No, it's the next noun is Yudhei Vavhei. So may Adonai, we translate it in English, bless you. But the actual Hebrew text says, may he kneel before you. Why? So that he can respond with the covenant response to you. What is the covenant response? Hineni. Hineni is the covenant response. Which means, may he give you his undivided attention. I couldn't help myself at this point. We got to go back to Boohoo years ago. 14 years ago, First Street. Ian Arroyo, my son, preached a message after he spent the weekend with Paul Wilbur. The title of his message was The Covenant Response of Worship. It was given March 11 of 2012, 14 years ago. In it, when he spoke, he said, Hineni is the covenant response. Ian said, which Paul said, you have my full attention, and nothing is distracting me. Everything that I am and I have is at your disposal. So the Almighty kneels as if it were before you. And he says to us, you have my full attention. I, the Almighty, am giving you full attention right now. There's nothing distracting me, and everything that I am, all those 3,000 names, everything that he is at my disposal. You realize that what this picture is, the good father, the one that is the really good father, is kneeling before his child. That's you. And his hands are extended. And what he wants to do is administer his covenant comfort, his covenant gifts, and his covenant promises to you. Yevarechecha Adonai. The second conversive verb, Beyishmerecha. Yishmerecha. Okay? The Yish is the Yud of the future tense. Okay? And the Merecha, the Ha, is to you. So what is the Shmerecha? Shmerecha. S-H-M. Got it? S-H-M. Shma. The future of Shomer. And keep you is translated. Keep you meaning guard you. Now, who's doing the Yishmerecha? Well, the Ha tells you that it's you. And the you is, you know, the you here is Adonai. This is a future conversive form of shamar, which means to guard. So, here's what that means. May Yud Hei Vav Hei, Yah Adonai, or Elohim, who is your heavenly Father, the one that exists, the one that who was and is to come, militarily guard you, which is what Adam was supposed to do in the garden over his wife, but didn't do it. With a hedge of protection. And the hedge of protection is his embrace. When he embraces you, do you think that there's any chance that Satan or any of his imps are going to even come close? There is absolutely no chance. When you're embraced by the Father, at that point, you are as protected as anybody can be from the evil one. That is, another way to view this is that when that is pronounced, and the Lord is actually doing it, that prevents Satan and all your enemies from harming your body, harming your soul, or harming your spirit, harming your mind, your will, and your emotions. And by the way, by context, that applies to all your loved ones and all your possessions. Anything that has to do with you. Next verse. Ya'er Adonai. Ya'er Yud Hei Vav Hei, Ya Adonai, or Elohim. Translated, may the Lord make his face to shine over you. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha. The panav is in front of. Elecha means you. So it says, may you face. Ya'er. Ya'er comes from or. We know what or is? Light. Okay. So this means, may Yud Hey Vav Hey, your heavenly Father, the one who exists, illuminate you. Illuminate you, which also means reveal, which means bring to the light, which means shine his light upon you. Shine his light of understanding upon you. Okay? And you imagine what we're saying, what this means. And he's going to illuminate you with the wholeness of his being towards you. Okay? Panavelecha means literally in your face. Bringing you to order so that you will fulfill your God-given destiny and the purposes behind his revelation for you. Next verse. It's just the word. Vihunecha. Vihunecha. The V there is the and. Hunecha. Ha is to you. The Hunen is CHN, which is the word for Hanan, Yohanan, the same word, which is give. You know, Hanan means it's an impartation in a sense. In other words, may your heavenly Father, the one who exists, provide you with perfect love and fellowship, never leaving you, by giving you sustenance, provision, and friendship. You want to know where this is comes from? This actually comes from the words that he spoke to his son in Luke and in Matthew at the place of where he was immersed, mikvah. The Holy Spirit came and rested on his shoulder as a dove, and the voice of the Father talked, and they could hear it. This is a proof of the triune nature of God. And he said to Yeshua, you are my son, and with you I am well pleased. The same thing is applied to you. What that says, Vihunecha, is actually saying, the Lord is saying to you and I, you are my son and my daughter. You're the children of Israel. You're my children. And I am well pleased. That was in Luke 3:22 and in Matthew 17 and 5. In the Matthew scripture, not only did he say, this is my son whom I love, and with him I am well pleased, but in the Matthew scripture it said, Shema him, listen to him, which is also in the transfiguration, by the way. Okay, getting a little more meaning, a little more. Yisa Adonai, that's again, Yud conversive, Vav conversive, future tense. Yisa comes from Oseh. Oseh means to do. Okay? Yisa Adonai panaveilecha. May the Lord in your face, that you can see it, going to do something. Okay? Translated, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. May you have your heavenly Father lift you up. That comes from the verb nasa. So it's not oseh, but nisa from nasa. And nasa means to lift up and carry. Close, Tony. You want, you can get in trouble if you don't just. All right. What does that mean? Have you ever seen a picture where there's tracks on the beach? Have you seen that picture? Have you seen that painting? Okay, what does that mean? When you see it, what does it mean? It means, people say, Jesus is carrying me like he's carrying the sheep because he's the good shepherd and the shepherd carry the sheep. When they are hurt, he picks them up and puts them right next to his bosom and carries the sheep. That's the good shepherd. Yeshua said, I am the good shepherd. In other words, he will carry his fullness and give you his fullness again towards you, bringing everything that he is to your disposition, supporting you with his divine embrace as an entire being. In other words, he's carrying you. He's carrying you. At that point, you're in his arms. Isn't that beautiful? You're in his arms. You're in the arms of the good shepherd, and he's carrying you. Ve'asem lecha shalom. Okay, so ve'asem, here's the oseh. Asem is the past tense, asa is the past tense of, which is where you get the verb. Ve'asem lecha shalom. Lecha means to you, shalom is, we know what it means. So ve'asem, may he make for you. May he do for you. It's translated, may he give you peace. But shalom means more than just not having war or being still and nobody bothering me, so I'm in shalom. Shalom means that you walk in victory. So let me then translate this for us. He who is and exists, your heavenly Father, set in place all you need to be complete so you can walk in victory moment by moment by the power of the Holy Spirit. May he give you supernatural health, peace, welfare, safety, soundness, tranquility, prosperity, perfection, fullness, rest, harmony, as well as the absence of any agitation or discord. Okay? That's all being implied by that word shalom, which is one of his names. So we can go a little further here and say, what can I give you to prove to you that I think the world of you? I'll give you one of my names. Shalom. That's the oldest scripture. Verse 27 concludes this, and I thought it was important to read the last verse of chapter 6, or the last verse here. So they will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them. Okay, so there's some usefulness for the Levites, right? There's some usefulness here for the Kohen Gadol that pronounces this. When he pronounces that, the scriptures say that person that's pronouncing that is putting on you his name. The equivalent of that is to come with anointing oil and write his name on your forehead. Like what we do at the mikvah. The priests were the medium, but the one doing this is none other than Yah Adonai, our Elohim, the Almighty. It was his prayer. There's no question of what he intended. Everything that's here, he intended. Okay? What does it mean, I will put my name upon them? In Hebrew, name is Shem. So that means place upon you, put my name upon you. It means, in general, that I'm going to place upon you
all that I am. All that he is his character. All that he is his power. All that he is his authority. What's the word for that in the messianic world, in the modern world, in the spirit-filled world? That word is impartation. The only thing that's exalted more than his name is what? We see it. We say it every week. He exalted his word even above his name, right? Okay. The word for Shem here is, when it's done in plural, is Nashem. Nashem. Okay? Where is that word in the Bible? You want to know? Here it is. In Genesis chapter 4, and verse 15. The Almighty put a mark upon Cain so that anyone who found him would not strike him down. Remember that? The Hebrew word means used there, Nashem. So the Almighty put a mark, okay? The Almighty set apart. The Almighty did something. Okay? And what the concluding verse says, that when that's done, the Almighty is putting a mark, the mark of the Father, not the mark of the beast, the mark of the Father. The mark of the Father is being placed upon your head. So when I say the impartation of his name, literally what that essentially means is that his name is like engraved upon us. It's like his name, one of his names is Shalom, but his name, he took something that belongs to him, something very personal. Okay, nobody else is called Shalom. Sar Shalom, there's a Prince of Peace, right? But he is Adonai Shalom, the one that appeared to Gideon. Okay, that's where that verse is. So he gives us, he imparts on us, he puts a mark, and the mark is Shalom. But not just Shalom, his name Shalom. His name Shalom is now written there. Well, his name is Yud Hey Vav Hey, so it's Yud Hey Vav Hey Shalom. Shin Lamed Vav Mem. Wow. At the onset of the pandemic, this is something that happened lately. We came here in March of 2020. Here, right here, this place. The men got together. The men came here, even though we were being threatened with close downs and all those things. Michael Baldwin said, no, we're going to have it. So we met right there next door in that first room. We were all sitting there. And as the night got a little, we got our little snack or whatever it is that we ate, and we talked and do the things that men do when they get together. They eat and talk. But the only time men eat and talk. And just before we get ready to leave, he said, I've got something to share with you that I heard yesterday, and I think it's really important for me to share that. So Michael Baldwin opened up, got his, I think it was his phone, and he played a song. The song's name is The Blessing. It was written by Chris Brown, Carrie Job, Collie Carnes and Steve Furtick. The song "The Blessing" became the worship anthem for the global believing community during the lockdown. Mr. Baldwin said, "We need this," so Mr. Baldwin played it for us. The first time I heard it. We now have it in our repertoire, and we can do it. We do it here. Why did it become such a big song? One of the writers is a woman, and she has children. She said that, Gary Joby said that her kids go around the house singing it. Okay? "May his blessing be upon you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He's with you. He's with you. In the morning, in the evening." He said that the kids go around singing that. And when in that, it just makes her mom's heart just overflow. But she realized that even little children, all around the world, that song has gone. It put them on the map. They were already on the map, but it really put them on the map. Her and her husband, Cody Carnes, because they were the two. Then they released a video like a week or less, maybe less time. And the video on the internet, because there was no churches meeting. Things like were closed down, especially in the West. Before they got here, they were being closed down in California and in Arizona and places like that. That's where it started. And so I remember seeing the video and them talking and saying, "Since we can't meet in the church, we wanted to bless you with this song." And they sang the song. And when I first heard it, the time that I heard it like that, I said, "Oh, that's the song Mr. Baldwin played for us a little while ago." What is the bottom line? The bottom line is that, do you realize that what I described is not him over there and me over here? Do you realize that what that prayer essentially says is that when that prayer is prayed, the Almighty comes to take me into his hands? I can hear his heartbeat. He can hear mine. Yevarechecha Adonai veYishmerecha. You're safe now. I got you. Ya'er Adonai, the light, in the beginning, there was no light. The light was created. It was very, very good. The light's associated with the Messiah. The light of Adonai, the Father, through Messiah, is Ya'er Adonai panaveilecha, in your face. Make your face shine. Make your face shine. The light makes your face shine. In Hanan, which comes from Yohanan, means graciousness. Yisa Adonai panaveilecha. Wow. He also will lift up his countenance. Yisa Adonai panaveilecha, in your face. He will immediately, it doesn't just bring you there. Moms don't have any problem when you bring your little babies in. You bring them and you don't just go. No, they get your attention, right? And you start to talk to them. And dads, we had to learn that. You know, I take the kid and go like, Is he going to break? So you know, dads, we don't. And you know, we get it. We watch mom, and what she does is she start making noises for the child, and yeah, I love you so much, and etc. Okay. So that's what he's doing in your face. He lifts up his countenance upon you. And then he makes a declaration, an impartation. I'm going to give you part of me as your inheritance. Ve'asem lecha shalom. You're mine. I'm yours, right? Like the song, you're mine, I am yours, you're mine, I am yours, right? And at that moment, you have received the greatest blessing there is. There's no greater than that. In closing, that really, this prayer is an intimacy prayer. The prayer actually represents a very special moment. It deserves our attention, and it deserves our, but more than that, we need to start receiving that prayer like how it was intended. It was intended for us to have a personal relationship with the Father, which we can have through the Son and the Holy Spirit. To me, there's a missing link that is just revealed here. The missing link is as follows. We are in a fatherless generation. We are in a fatherless generation. Even the natural fathers and mothers we have are sometimes not even wanting to. So we are alone. In this fatherless generation, the best prayer anybody can receive is the prayer of the Almighty Father, taking the child in his hands, looking at him intently, lighting up his life. Like the song, You Light Up My Life, okay? Lighting up his life and then placing his peace for you to have. But even though we're in a fatherless generation, I learned that I had a heavenly father all along. In 1990, I really understood in North Central Baptist Church, which was located at that time right behind the Publix on Main Street. Okay? In February of 1990, I discovered that my father had been with me all along, my heavenly father. And instantaneously came instances in my life. Since I was 7 years old until at that point in 1990, I'm 31 years old. Okay, that how many times my Heavenly Father had interceded for me, whether it was there on the wreck or whether it was on Three Lakes that I almost drowned in Ocala, or wherever, he was there. And I understood that he was the father to the fatherless. He was my dad. I didn't have the pleasure of a real flesh and blood dad since I was seven. That didn't mean that I was left alone. And I began to understand he was with me in high school. He was with me when I went into the military. He was with me when I didn't go to Vietnam. He was with me in every situation. And on that day when that became a reality to me that I really did have a father, that my father was a heavenly father, that it changed me forever. I was no longer the fatherless. I had a father that could do anything. And he had demonstrated that to me. So, when you have access to the Heavenly Father, are you going to take advantage of it? I am. I have, and I intend to. Oh, yes, we are going to take advantage of the intimacy with the Father in the Aaronic benediction. Shem Yeshua. Amen.